Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you all again from up here. Your faces are very nice. Even you, Dan. That was funny, I guess. All right. I'm going to be really, really honest with all of you this morning, okay? So just buckle up, all right? So just get ready for this. I'm going to be really transparent. I've been up here before, and you've heard me talk about my family. They're all really cool. You know, my sweet grandmother, football, super manly, lifting weights. Yeah, love it. But this morning, I'm going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about girls. Okay, you're not as excited as I thought you would be. Said I was going to do that, so now I'm more nervous. But we're on our third week of our 40 Days of Prayer series, and this week, I was going over the content, and for some reason, I found myself really deep in the archives of my buried memories, and this is a very dangerous place. I thought about the things that I used to pray to God for when I was just a wee little lad, much smaller than I am now. And you know what I remember being at the top of my list of those prayers? Yes, girls. Big surprise, I know. That's right. So my prayers would sound something like this. Dear God, would you please make Lauren Valdez fall in love with me? I will never ask for anything else as long as I live. Please make her fall in love with me. Well, she didn't fall in love with me. And I could never figure out why. That's why. So I'm guessing when I prayed to God, he heard my prayers and he was like, dude, buddy, listen, I'm sorry, but I've done a lot of miracles and this one might be beyond me. So we've come a long way. We really have. But when I was thinking about it, it's really funny to think about the things that we used to pray about when we were children, when we looked like this, and as Dan would say, pinched cheeks. I thought about the ridiculous things I used to ask God for, and I honestly believed that in those moments, because of what I knew and believed in God, that he would give me those things. He would give me the girl that I wanted. I mean, why wouldn't he? We know he's God, right? And he says in the Bible that he's going to give us everything we need. And 10-year-old me really wanted a girlfriend, needed a girlfriend. So why didn't I get one? Why was I left alone and sad and self-conscious as a 10-year-old boy thinking that nobody would ever want me or love me because I didn't have a girlfriend? That sounds really exaggerated, because I think I'm doing just fine now, so don't feel bad for me. Well, thinking about this stuff, I found my answer. I'm doing fine now, because now I have a better understanding of what God is actually like. And this had a direct influence about what I pray about. And we all have that. At points of our lives, we all struggle to know what God is like. I still do to this day. Even last night, getting ready for this. We know that God has a lot of characteristics. We know that God is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. We also know that he is holy. He is just. He is kind and loving and faithful. There are a lot of characteristics of God. God is everything. But the one thing that I want to focus on this morning is God's goodness. Because it's the goodness of God that serves as the basis for all prayer. And it is God who sent his only son, or as we saw in the gospel, sent our good shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus. And because God is always good, we know four specific things about prayer. And understanding these four things will allow us to truly enjoy and embrace prayer when we get to it. And it's true for all of us that prayer even now, can sometimes feel like a duty, can feel like a ritual. And for me, I often feel guilty about prayer when I feel like I'm not doing it well enough. But understanding God's goodness and how much He really, actually, truly loves us, this shows us that prayer is a gift. And this can make prayer feel more natural, and it can become more relational instead of a ritual. So what I'm going to do now is we're going to walk through the four implications of God's goodness. And hopefully it puts a new perspective on what prayer means in our lives, as we've been doing for the past few weeks. So the first implication of God's goodness is that God's plans for my life will always be good. Duh. Scripture tells us so many times that God never made anything without a purpose. He put a tremendous amount of thought into creating each and every one of you, all of us. And He knows exactly where He wants you to go at every given moment of time. But it's really easy to feel like we have absolutely no idea what God wants from us. That's usually the case. And those plans that we do figure out, those plans are revealed to us through prayer. So the more we pray and the more we communicate with God, prayer then will reveal our purpose. And prayer is where we talk to God about what He wants for us. But because sometimes we avoid God for whatever reason it might be, we're scared. We're scared to go to Him. I know I am. Even last night, preparing for this, I was like, ooh. I'm worried to pray to God because maybe He's not going to give me the answer I want, so I'm just going to avoid Him completely. That's not good. I know it's true for me, and it might be true for you. When I screw up or I forget about God, I avoid Him. That's what I did to my dad when I got a B minus on a quiz. But like my dad, God will always find you. My dad's always there. And unlike my dad sometimes, God's not mad at us when we do this. Really, all He wants is to hear from you, to hear from us. And even though God does not promise perfection in your lives, in our lives, He does promise that even in the middle of brokenness, He still has a plan for our lives. But we're never going to know or understand what that is if we don't talk to Him, if we don't talk to Him constantly. And often, sometimes, we feel like we'll make a specific decision that's going to screw up God's plan for us. But that is definitely not the case either. It's not a one-size-fits-all for your life kind of plan. It's not like you do something and then God's like, nope, you did that, now I can't fix you. You're off your course. Your plan's ruined. Thanks, bye. That's not how it happens either. But I feel like that sometimes, and I know many of you may feel like that too. But God says, Matt, even when you make bad choices, I am way greater than your choices. And I can fit those dumb decisions, Matt, that you've made into a really, really awesome, good plan. That's why I like this verse from Romans, chapter 8, 28. Many of you probably heard this verse. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Everything is working together for good to those who give it all to God. Just giving it to God, just talking to Him. That's how I like to think about it, talking to God. Praying sounds really scary, like it did last night for me, but then I thought in my mind, why don't I just talk to God? Just me and Him. And it sounds easy when I say it out loud, but it does take work to do that. We all know this. God really wants us to grow, and praying is a huge step in that process of growth. And everything that God does in our lives, He does for our good. And we know this because God is good. Which brings me to the second implication of God's goodness. God always gives me what I need and not what I deserve. He gives me what I need and not what I deserve. We are sinful, and we are broken, and we know what we deserve. But we also know Jesus, and we know that he died, and we know that he paid for our sins. He paid for all of our wrongs. God sent Jesus, his son, and God forgives us, not because we're good or because we deserve it, but because he is good and he loves us. And every single time we go to God, every time we ask for his forgiveness, we know that he forgives us. And not only that, we know that he welcomes us back. That's the most important part, I think, of talking about prayer. He welcomes us back, and he doesn't reject us. And I'm pretty sure that for many of us, rejection is one of our biggest fears, deep down, being rejected. Like, when I was that little kid that you saw, I'll be honest, I was sick to my stomach when I found out that a girl didn't like me. There wasn't just that one girl. There was a lot, because obviously I had to go elsewhere, because it wasn't easy. But in those moments, I felt like God wasn't answering my prayers. He wasn't giving me what I was asking him for, like the Bible said he would. Did I need a girlfriend? Probably not. I could probably not even tie my shoes at that point. And I probably needed more vegetables than I needed a girlfriend, but that's besides the point. I wanted a girlfriend. Why didn't God want me to have a girlfriend? Why didn't God want me to feel special and to feel a connection with somebody? So then I was confronted with rejection at a really young age, as we all are, and we still are when we get older. It doesn't matter what age. Like when I was in high school then, you know, I had grown up since then. I was getting to where I am now. I still wasn't there yet. But when I graduated high school, I wanted to do one thing after I graduated, and that was to play college football. But it didn't happen like that at first. Joke's on you, I'm talking about football still. This was my dream, and I wanted it more than anything else in the world. I would die to play college football. I didn't care where. Just give me pads again. I want to do this. So I was set on going to the school that gave me an offer. It was a really small school called Olivet. It's in Michigan. It's like in a cornfield. Not that great. Sorry if you went to Olivet, I'm just saying. And I was not going to go there to play no school, if you know what I mean. I wanted to play football. School was just the extra. And my dad said no. And I got a whole letter, I got an offer, and they were grooming me and everything. And my dad was like, didn't give me a reason, he just said, no, you're not going, you're not playing. And there was no arguing with dad. You've seen him, he's a scary guy. But that was devastating. I was shattered, because for as long as I could remember, that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to live that dream. And it was the one thing at that moment that I wanted, and I could not have it. So instead, I worked at a factory. So I felt like an absolute loser. And I was so mad at God, so mad. I wasn't even mad at my dad, because I prayed to God constantly, let me have this, let me live my dream. Why don't you want this for me? It was right here. It was like you were teasing me with it. Now I can't have it. And it doesn't matter how much I beg you or pray, my dad's decision will not change. So at that time, God did not answer my prayers. Well, I'm stupid, because I think you all know me well enough to know what happened. I did get to play college football. And now I have a body full of injuries that can prove it. So I went to Concordia. I'll save you the whole story, but because of that, now I'm here. I have a full-time job doing what I love. I have friends from a school that will last a lifetime. And yes, haunting memories of getting the crap kicked out of me every day. But I played college football. God always gives me what I need. He gives us what we need. And even in those moments when he told me no, where truthfully, I did reject him. I was so mad. He didn't reject me, even though I shook my fists at him every single day. He still loved me. He still took me in. And he still gave me what I wanted, even though I didn't deserve it. Which brings me to the third implication of God's goodness, is that God puts my good above his own good. And this is the heart of the gospel. This is the ultimate expression of God's goodness being shown to us through Jesus Christ. And we see that from our gospel for today in John. Jesus says it himself. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That's us. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. That's him. Our good shepherd. He cares about you. Isn't that insane? He cares about you so much that he's willing to die for you. He dies for us. And as often as we hear that phrase, we've all grown up knowing that he died for us, but sometimes it still feels far away. Because it's kind of hard to picture somebody dying for you. But when I was going through this, I thought about it in real time. I'm standing here in danger, and somebody jumps in front of me and takes a bullet for me. I think about someone that I love, maybe my brothers or my dad. They literally give their life for me, to save me. Somebody did do that for you, for us. And that it blows your mind when you think about it that way. Our Father, our good shepherd, laying down his life for his sheep. And when you think about prayer, prayer is the means by which we truly know our good Father, our good shepherd. This is how we communicate with him. This is how we understand him. But above everything else, the good shepherd, he does put his good, our good, above his own. And why would any shepherd do that for a sheep? I looked up some pictures of sheep when I was going through this, and they're really gross. They're really not that nice of animals. I mean, they look cute, but I feel like they're pretty dirty. Especially in the time when all this was written, why would any shepherd risk that much for a sheep? Love, because he loves it. Because it's his sheep. He loves that sheep more than anything else in the world. He will do anything to keep that sheep and see his entire flock thrive. And Jesus says that about us. Because the sheep belong to their shepherd. We belong to Jesus. We are his. So thinking about prayer, when we pray over those things that seem out of our control, like bills, I know what those are now. I'm an adult. Those suck. Health questions. I'm getting there too. Career choices, yup. Relationships, yup. Lack of a girlfriend because you haven't hit puberty yet. God does provide. He has provided. He did then and he does now. And talking to him, praying to him, this reminds us of that. Reminds us of what he's done. And there is not one single thing that we can't take to God that he can't handle. He can take it all. He wants to. He wants to listen to what we have to say, even if it's us being angry at him. So in that moment when I was rejecting him, he would have rather heard me being angry at him than not talking to him at all. That's so much worse for him. He wants to listen to what we have to say. We shouldn't be afraid. And if he loves us enough to die for us, he certainly loves us enough to answer every single one of our prayers. But those answers do come in a lot of different ways, which gets really confusing. Which brings me to the last point. The last implication of God's goodness is that God does not say yes to every request. What? Why? Because like I said, like I've read the Bible for a long time, and there's verses that say, I'm paraphrasing, but tell God what you want and he'll give you what you need. Well, I still don't have a girlfriend, so someone's lying to me. But as much as we would hope so, there's nothing in the Bible that actually says that what we ask for we're going to get. And Pastor Dan has spoken on this already. We call it vending machine prayer. Sometimes we can't tell the difference between what's good for us and what's bad for us in our lives. That's very clear. I especially can't. I usually only can see the bad. And God would never give us something that's bad for us because God is good. Even if it's something that we think we really want, like when I wanted to go to that school, it seemed really good, seemed really nice, but God knew it wasn't. And even when God doesn't give us what we want, he still answers our prayers. But God is God, and he does that in a way that we don't always get. And we've all seen this. It's not just my example. We all have examples of how that's happened. God's reasons are way beyond our reasons. And sometimes it's so hard to see why. Like in that moment for me, I didn't understand it. But now I feel dumb, obviously, because he was waiting. It was like my mother waiting to give me a Christmas present, and like she just wants to tell me what it is, but she can't. But he gives it to us. Where I am today is a direct result of what God was making me wait for. And no, I didn't understand it, but I am so seriously thankful now that he did make me wait. And when I thought God was not there, when I gave up on him, he was still answering the prayers that I wasn't even praying. Just not in the way that I would want him to answer them. In the ways that God answers prayers, sometimes he just says no. Sometimes we're just wrong and he says no, which is what I thought he was doing for me. Sometimes he says, just shut up and wait a little bit. You're not ready. For whatever reason, he wants us to wait, which he did do for me. And sometimes, but not usually all the time, he will say yes, absolutely, right away. Get on it. But knowing that the requests that we make, that's usually not the case, especially for me. God is good. So that means he is listening. And he really does care about how we feel. Our feelings matter to him. God gave me literally everything I dreamed for, and even more than that. And going through that now, simply it helped me to build trust with him. Because I went through that, now when something like that happens, I think about that situation, and I think about what it took to get to where I'm at. So I trust God if I get to that point. I mean, not all the time, obviously. It's not as easy as it sounds. I'm not going to stand up here and say that it is. But we can use those experiences, those prayers, when those situations arise again. Prayer really works. That's what we're talking about, prayer. And why does prayer work? Because God is good. God is so good. We have seen so many times how good God is. Even when we're struggling, even when we're in pain, God really, really wants to hear from us, and he really wants to hear our voices. And he wants us to consciously give him our thoughts. Sometimes I get scared to pray, and I say, God, you know my heart. And I feel like that's my prayer, but sometimes I don't truly feel it in my heart. But when I sit down and I face my fear and I say, God, listen to all this baggage I have to throw up at your feet. And he takes it and he cleans it up and he talks to me. And that's all he wants. Every single day, he just wants to talk as much as we can. He wants a relationship with us. And how do you build relationships? You talk to people. He doesn't just want to talk yesterday, today, tomorrow. He wants to talk forever into eternity. He's told us that. We know that for sure. So why wouldn't I want to talk to a guy who will listen to me talk forever? God does know our thoughts. That's true, yes. And he knows what's on our hearts, but he really does love our voices. And it's not It's not always easy to trust in God's goodness when things aren't good. Why would we trust a guy that lets all these bad things happen? That's what I think in those moments. And it's okay to think that he's God. The times where we don't see the end to something, we don't see what he's planning. When we're afraid that he's doing something to punish us. And for me, the most important, and this might be true for you too, when we feel like we can't go to him because we messed up so bad, we absolutely ruined everything. We really screwed the pooch on this one. So we don't go to him because we don't even deserve to pray. That's the biggest one for me, I'd say. I'll just be honest. I was honest about girls, but for me, it's like, I'm not going to pray because I'm too embarrassed. I'm too ashamed to go to you, God. I can't. But none of that's true. It's not true. And I could stand up here all day and tell you how easy it's going to be to go to God when we screw up and when we do something shameful. It's not easy to go to him. But we should know that he's going to be there and he's going to listen. Because he is our good shepherd. Even if it's immediately following a sin, he wants us to still pray. He wants to still hear from us. It's not like when you screw up and your mom sends you to timeout and then you get a chance to talk. No. Even when you're sinning, he wants to talk to you. There is no shame with God. None. He took care of that up here. And because he did that up here, now there's only grace. There's only eternal life. There's only forever and ever of talking to him, of zero shame. Because he is good, our good shepherd is always going to take care of us. So I think it's only appropriate that as I wrap up, maybe we all could pray together. So would you please pray with me? Dear God, our good shepherd, please be in this place. Fill this room. And just talk to us. God, we've all come here this morning for a different reason. Whether it's to talk to you or because our mom made us or because it's your job. But help us to see now, right now, God, that you are in this room with us and you have your hands on all of our shoulders. And whatever it might be that we brought with us this morning, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's broken, just take it, please. You've brought us here, God, and we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful for everything that you've given us. But as we leave this place today, remind us that we can come to you in any situation. We can pray in whatever way that works best for us. We can talk to you because that's where we hear your voice. And sometimes it's not always easy to hear your voice in the middle of all this noise. But your voice is so much different than any other noise in the world. God, please allow us to listen to your whispers. Because that's how you speak to us. Lord God, our good shepherd, please be in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls. Help us just to wake up every day thankful that we have you. And we have the chance to make today what you gave it to us for. God, we don't always understand why or how or where. And we get mad at you. And we don't trust you. But you're there. And you're always going to be there. So please hear all of our prayers. Please listen to all my friends. And please just be with us. And above everything else, no matter what, the one thing we do know that you're going to give us is peace. So thank you, God, for that. Bless us on our time together and be in the hearts of every single person in this room. And help us to share you with every single person who's not in this room. It's your name we pray. Amen.
And Father, this dear man who's figuring out ministry and what it means to serve people and explore his own faith walk, that God, your Spirit would continue to work inside of him. That your Spirit would root him with assurance and confidence that he is most certainly worthy of the calling you have given him. For you have made us worthy. For you have opened the scroll and given us life. And so for Matthew, God, build him up. And for us, Lord, here who may not feel worthy and our prayers are empty and aimless, that God, they would have every assurance that you hear all of our needs, for you are most certainly good. And next week, Matthew takes our confirmants on a retreat. And God, on that weekend, Lord, that those kids would be able to explore their faith, build relationship with each other and with Matt, and that they would see they have a place in the kingdom for the rest of their lives. And so we pray the prayer you taught us, our Father who art in heaven.
Hallowed be thy name.